Good morning. You should be awake now. Sorry about that. And if you were here Wednesday night, sorry about smoking you out if you heard. I didn't know sins burnt so bad. So we'll work on that and get that better for next year. Work on it in a little different way. Several announcements. I'm not going to make all these. If I do, run through them real quickly, but take your red pad, sign it, pass it down with your name, address, that type of information. If you haven't given your email, we would like that also. And we are, after the sermon, have an installation and ordination of elders and deacons, and at that time we will call them forward to come to the front of the church, some questions to answer. Then for those who've not been ordained, we'll have the service of the laying on of hands. We'll ask those to step up a little closer, and then the elders that will come forth from the session council, whether they're currently on it or have been on it, or maybe from another church who have been ordained in a Presbyterian church, are welcome also to come up for the laying on of hands service. Women's Association is meeting after church today, so is the session council. Youth group this evening. Adult Sunday School every Sunday at 9:15, and they picked up some new members, and Jay's doing a terrific job with that. Sunday, March the 4th is Scout Sunday, so you wear your uniforms for that. Junior church, the first three Sundays of each Sunday. And remind you, we have a nursery every Sunday through these doors. And you go through the main doors of the C building, the first door on the left, and we have a paging system. Hold that pager, and they can call you to come over if something's wrong with your child, or they would have to leave, anything, so it's good to have. Annual congregation meeting held Sunday, March the 25th, so it's time to get those annual reports in to Mary or to Ella. Any other announcements that need to be made? April 1st, Deacon Donut Sunday after church. We haven't had that for a while, so come out for some nice fellowship and donuts. Anyone else? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise is 106. Praise Him, praise Him. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for rainbows. They remind us of the covenant you made with humanity. We know that you always keep your promises. Forgive us when we lose faith. Help us to remain strong when the storms of life threaten to drown us. Show us how to keep our heads above the troubled waters of sickness or financial difficulties. Remind us that you are with us when the flood waters of strained relationships stress us. May we believe in our hearts and minds that you will never leave us or forsake us for any reason. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Together with a sense of unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment, greet one another, and I'm going to try to plug this up.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm so used to this thing, it's hard to talk without it. Apologize. Our responsive reading is Psalm 33 in the back of your hymnal, 699. 699, Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully, and shout for joy.
For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love.
By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. We wait in hope for the Lord.
He is our help and our shield.
Okay, I'm going to try what I did last time, and we'll work on it. I think we need a new link. I know my clothes don't fit. This is from when I was a large. Now I'm now a medium. I'm losing from 190 to 138, but I'm back up to about 150. We're moving back up anyway. I'd like to open this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer and invite you to submit any prayer requests and try to update you on a couple here. Nancy is out of Allegheny General from the heart attack she had and at home resting quite comfortably, trying to get her strength back. And Isabel is in St. Margaret's from the operation on her carotid artery. It was 90% blocked, but everything was very successful, but she was extremely tired yesterday. And anyone else? Okay, UTI infection for Isabel too, and high tendency for Mercer. Okay. Thanks for Adele and pray for Loretta. Okay, prayers for Anna. Continued prayers for husband Bob. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and Presbyterian tradition. We'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer, saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let's bow forward a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this beautiful morning. Christmas in the air. The sun is shining. We are not thinking now about floodwaters or even rainbows. But we know that the floods of life can come at any time. The waters can rise. We literally saw it happen here at Glenshaw Valley in 2004, where we were drowning. Lost much of our material possessions in the building and had to build back. It was tough, but we did it. We banded together, and you helped us, and we thank you for that. Many families and individuals feel as if the floodwaters are up around their knees. Some feel as if it is up around their necks. And sometimes they don't know which way to turn, what to do. Whether it's an illness, a financial crisis, a relationship, a spiritual matter. We know that you say that you promise to never leave us and never forsake us. That you will always be with us. So we hold on to that promise today. And maybe our lives are going very well right now. But we know that life can become chaotic and something can happen at any time to one of us, or our family, our friends, someone at work. So help us always remember to lean on you and get that message out to other persons. That you are the great healer, that you are our friend, that you are willing to give your life on the cross that we might have salvation and eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and answering them according to your will. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for giving us this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is the screen song, God is My Refuge. Bow for a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, and we thank you once again for the cross of Jesus Christ, what it means to each of us personally, the gift of salvation. And as pastor of Glenshell Valley, I thank you for all the gifts that these people use, not for their glory, but for yours. The monies that they give, the time, the energy, the sacrifices that they make, all the things that they do for outreach, sending cards, telephone calls, making meals, giving someone a ride, just a kind word to a stranger. So many wonderful things. Bless them this day, Lord, and help us be a blessing to you and to the world and to your people. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Good morning. Yes, I do know I'm in Glenshaw Valley, but I didn't want to make another mistake. This morning's scripture takes place immediately after the flood, where God sent rains and water to destroy every living creature on the earth. And in this part, he makes a covenant with man, a contract with man. And there's some interesting parts of this covenant. First of all, he says that he'll never again send waters to destroy everything on the earth. The other thing he says is that he placed a rainbow in the sky to remind him of this covenant. But he didn't say that he would not punish the wicked, because Sodom and Gomorrah, for example, followed afterwards. But he wouldn't destroy everything. And he wouldn't punish all the poor little animals, if you're an environmentalist, for what man was doing. And he said this for two reasons. One, because he wanted to make a covenant with man, and so man would understand their place. The second thing is that he didn't want us to fear. He didn't want us to fear the rains, if the rains were coming, whether it was going to be another time where we'd all be wiped out. So listen to Genesis 9, verses 18 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of the flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring the clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of the every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth. Bless the reading and hearing of the scripture.
As you know, Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, Lent. Preaching takes on a little more of a serious tone, more of a talk about the cross, a little more talk about sin and our relationship than maybe my, quote, normal preaching does. Jack Ho was a popular evangelist in the first part of the 20th century. Like many popular evangelists of his time, he held revivals and held them in tents. And he had a tent that held 10,000 people, and that's got to be a very large tent. And he was conducting a crusade in Kansas City, and he dreamed that there was going to be a flood. And he told his wife about it, and then he dreamed it again, and he felt that so much that God was sending him a message that there was going to be a flood. A short while later, while in the midst of the crusade, he felt once again that God was speaking to him, not in some kind of voice, but just speaking to his heart, and he felt there is going to be a flood. So in the last hours, as he's having this crusade, he stops the crusade and he tells all of his people, let's pack up this tent, which is a lot of work, and they start working as fast and as hard as they can, and people begin to mock him. And the workers saying, flood, everything is dry, the clouds are perfect, it doesn't flood around here. They packed up, and just a few hours later, as they moved away to higher grounds, the worst flood ever in that area, 22 feet began to rise above the flood waters, brought the worst disaster at that time in North American history. In the book of Genesis, a man named Noah had the same kind of experience. Except God didn't tell Noah to move his revival tent. God told him to build a very large boat. Noah built that boat and Noah was spared. His family was also spared. And all the animals which he has gathered on the boat were spared. It's a magical story that even our children tell well, and we have a drawing of it in our painting of it in our nursery. The important part of the story, though, I think occurs when the waters begin to recede. It tells us that every time we see a rainbow, it is a reminder that sunlight refracting through water vapor. It is a reminder of God's covenant. It is a reminder of God's love. It is a reminder that no matter how disappointed God may be with humanity, God will never again cause floodwaters to destroy humankind. But my guess is that in our materialistic society, our culture in 2012, when we look at a rainbow, we don't think about God's covenant with man. What do we think about first of all? Pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Of course, and the little leprechauns running around. You even see it on your scratch-off tickets, don't you? Besides, according to one popular legend, the pot of gold is guarded by a mischievous mystical creature, the leprechaun. And if the treasure is ever in danger of being discovered by a mortal, legend has it that the leprechaun is to trick the human being out of getting that pot of gold so the leprechauns can keep it. There's an amazing story of a man who once tricked a leprechaun into revealing the whereabouts of his valuables. The treasure was located buried beneath a large bush in a field, surrounded by a lot of bushes that looked the same. And the man needed to go off and get his shovel so he could dig and get the gold out, or the pot of treasure. So he tied a red ribbon to the bush so he could identify it. And he made the leprechaun promise him that he would not take the red ribbon off of the bush. So the leprechaun promised him, "I'll not take the red ribbon off the bush, I promise." And he's bound by that oath, so he doesn't do it. So the man goes off and he gets the shovel and he comes back in just a little while. And he comes back to that large field with all these bushes out in the field. And what does he find? Finds red ribbons on every bush. He didn't lie, he told the truth. And that's why you can never run into anyone who's ever found the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. A leprechaun will always trick you out of it. So I guess we better not include finding the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for our retirement fund. Yet in our planning for life, looking for rainbows makes a great deal of sense. Why? Because God has made a covenant with us, with humanity, and with us as individuals, and us as families. If you could remind yourself of the truth that every time you see a rainbow, I believe it will help you deal with the difficulties that you are having in your life. And remind you that God is with you, regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in. The rainbow is one symbol of the covenant, and the cross is an even more important symbol of the covenant that God has with humanity. Remember, Jesus was crucified on a wooden cross. Do you know where the expression "knock on wood" comes from? Some of you may. Maybe you knock on wood for good luck. You know, we do that. Sometimes I use my head if I can't find any wood. I read recently about knock on wood superstition that originated from an ancient practice that really has nothing to do with luck at all. You know, we take things and then we migrate them to other things. According to this ancient practice, a person would touch a piece of wood whenever he or she experienced good fortune in his or her life. And they did so because to touch the wood was in gratitude of what Christ had done on the cross. So touching the wood was a reminder of Jesus Christ's sacrifice upon the cross at Calvary. When something good happens to you, maybe next time you think of knocking on wood, you'll think of what Jesus Christ has done for you, the sacrifice and the gift of life eternal. This is the first Sunday in Lent. And we're preparing ourselves for the celebration of Christ's death. I know it sounds funny to say celebration of it, but also his resurrection. That's what really makes it a celebration. What happened in those 3 days in Jerusalem more than 2,000 years ago dwarfs even the rainbow and what Noah saw in the sky, and yet they are part and parcel of the same story, God's love for fallen humanity. Both declare this mighty truth: God is not interested in punishing humanity. And I think many of us grew up with that idea that God is out to get us. God is out to punish us and to send us to hell if we do anything wrong. But my friends, it is just the opposite. God loves you, and it is God's desire to bring you to heaven for eternal peace and eternal joy forever. That is God's desire, to save humanity. John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That has been God's intent since the beginning of time. That's what a rainbow in the sky means. Every time you see it, give thanks to God. God has made a covenant with humanity. And that's good to know when the storm clouds are rising and you think there might be a flood. You know, the past few years have been devastating for many families, and I'm not talking about just those who have been affected by actual floods like that have hit New England, or droughts and wildfires like those that have devastated Texas, or the tornadoes that have hit the South and the Midwest this past year. I'm talking about events of floods of foreclosures and the floods of lost jobs. Studies show that children have been affected by the economic downturn as well as adults, but children are even more affected by it, and what is happening, how it affects their psyche, and what it does to them, and how they begin to look at life at such an early age. Because it's not just a downturn for them, it's a depression when it happens directly to you. But even when economic times are good, there are other calamities that come when the flood that on Noah's neighbors. Sickness, death, divorce. Sooner or later, the floodwaters begin to rise on every one of us. We don't want it to, but it happens. Some of us may make it through life relatively few storm clouds. Some people do. Some people seem to lead a charmed life. But no one escapes altogether. No one. There's a Jewish legend called the sorrow tree. According to this legend, on the Day of Judgment, everyone will be allowed to hang their unhappiness on a branch of a great tree. And each person will then walk around that tree and look at the sorrows that other people carried throughout their life. And you'll be able to walk up to that tree and look at these sorrows, and if you want to, you can exchange your sorrows for their sorrows. But the Jewish legend says that when you start looking at them, you'll say, I think I'll just keep what I've got. That's a way of saying sooner or later, all of us will experience the floodwaters of adversity. And I dare say that some of you have already waded through those waters in your life. You've been faced with great adversity. And others will someday soon. And we need to acknowledge that truth to live in a world of reality. TV evangelists sometimes give the impression that if you trust Christ, that you're just going to have one long stream of blessings. Money's just going to start raining down from heaven. Health is going to be perfect. All relationships in your life are going to be perfect. But my friends, that is a lie. It just, life does not happen that way. Your heart, your soul, your mind will be blessed, but the flood waters will still rise regardless of what philosophy or theology you have in your life. It doesn't change it. You may handle it better or worse because of that. Thinking nothing can ever happen, then it happens. And you say, God, you said I would always be blessed. I'd never be sick. I would never face a financial problem. And then it comes and you're devastated. Reverend Jerome Cooper Baltimore tells about a woman named Lynn who was seeking for truth. And even though she had been a member of a Christian church, she started seeking truth through Buddhism. The reason she chose Buddhism, because they taught a lot about suffering and sorrows. However, when she started seeking an answer in Buddhism, she was led back to Jesus Christ. Because when she began to relook at Christ, she saw that he had hurt and pain in his heart as well as in his body for what people did against him and for him going to the cross. She came to a better understanding that you have to look at Christ in the totality of who he was and not just one aspect of him. She realized that what she had been presented in her church was only a half-truth. She was only presented the victorious Christ without the suffering Messiah. And she didn't relate to that Jesus Christ of always being happy. So we need to be honest about it, lest anyone misunderstand. Sometimes some of the best people that God ever created suffer. People who sing in the choir, people who teach Sunday school, people who sit on the session council, the board of deacons, session deacon council, whatever it is, people can have problems. And I understand, even as I preach this, this is really not what people want to hear. You just want to hear the happy part. And that's the part that I really like to preach. But there's an other side. There always will be. A young minister was in his church office when a lady who was a stranger came to him into the church and said, "Are you the minister?" And he was new at this. He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Come with me," she said very curtly to him. And they went out into the front of the church, and she had a car parked on the street, and stretched out in the back was a man. She waved her hand, referring to that man, and said, "This is my brother." He lay there twisted and paralyzed. She said, "If you're a man of God, do one of two things. Heal him now, or tell me why this tragedy happened." He said, "I can't do either. And neither can I. But what I can do, I can point you to the rainbow and the cross and say to you, God has not forgotten us. God will never forget us. God loves us. God cares about us. God has compassion on us. And when we are seeing and feeling the floodwaters rising around us, we can get on our knees and we can pray. We can get into the Word of God. We can call a family member or a church family member. We can go to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a minister. There's all kind of things that we can do. But we can reach out for help. And then when we see someone else that needs help, we can reach out in Christian compassion and try to help them rise up from those waters. Cutting out an illustration for time, but you know, the promise that God will be here with us has sustained people throughout the centuries, especially since Jesus Christ. And I think as Christians, we can't look at life through rose-colored eyes or glasses, or we will be devastated. We have to know that there will be storms. We have to know that when the waters rise, that God promises that we do not have to be overwhelmed, that we can look for the rainbow, that we can look for the cross of Jesus Christ, and God will always, always be there
for us and for your loved ones. We can see that promise, especially in the cross, because Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ even prays for us. And Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. May God bless you. We have a covenant. Amen. I'm going to call people up in just a moment. I want to read this. There are different gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through different people in different ways, but it is the same God who achieves His purpose through them all. Each one is given a gift by the Spirit to use for the common good. Together we are the body of Christ and individually members of Him. Though we have different gifts, together we are a ministry of reconciliation led by the risen Christ. We work and pray to make His church useful in the world. And we call men and women to faith, so that in the end every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Within our common ministry, some members are chosen for particular work as ministers of the Word, ruling elders, or deacons. In ordination, we recognize these special ministries, remembering that our Lord Jesus said, "Whoever among you wants to be great must become the servant of all. And if he wants to be first among you, he must be the slave of all men." And I pray I have the complete list. If I don't, and you know you should be, please come up. Jay Hartz, to be ordained as a deacon. If I have anything wrong, please tell me, because you know me. Debbie Irwin, ordained as a deacon. Kathy Anarito, to be reinstalled as a deacon. And we're reinstalling people who have been on the board, been off, and are coming back on. Mabe Sasso, to be ordained as an elder. Cliff Huff, to be reinstalled as an elder. Clara Kaler, to be reinstalled on session. Have I left anyone out? Okay. God has called you by the voice of the church to serve Jesus Christ in a special way. You know who you are and what we believe, and you understand the work for which you have been chosen. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge Him, Lord of the world, and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Say, "I do," if you're able.
I do.
Okay. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal, and God's word to you?
I do.
Will you be instructed by the confessions of our church and led by them as you lead the people of God?
I will.
Will you, as elders and deacons, be in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and guided continually by our confessions?
I will.
Do you endorse our church's government and will you honor its discipline? Will be a friend among your comrades in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit. Will you govern the way you live by following the Lord Jesus Christ, loving neighbors, and working for the reconciliation of the world? Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
Okay.
This is just for the elders. Will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship and instruction? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in courts of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will.
For the deacons, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need. In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Shawnee, as clerk of session, has this to ask the congregation, because you have a responsibility to work with.
Do we, members of Blanchard Valley Church, accept May, J, Kathy, Debbie, Cliff, and Clara
Good.
As elders and deacons chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of this church?
Amen.
Thank you. Those that are to be ordained, I ask that you step to the front, and those others step to the back. I ask the elders to come forth for the laying on of hands. Any that would like to, let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in this very special moment in their lives, in our lives, the life of the church, the life of the kingdom of God. We believe that you have called these persons into your ministry as elders, as deacons, to serve not themselves, not to be lifted up, but to do the work for your kingdom, your church. We believe that you have given them the gifts to be able to do so, the judgment, the ability to work together, to be able to serve. Touch them this day through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let them feel your anointing in their lives as this is passed down from generations, that they may serve, they may lead. And may they know that they should always do it with love, compassion, caring about others and others' needs and feelings, but listening for your word and looking into your word for guidance. Thank you, Lord, for their willingness. Guide them in all that they do within the church, their places of employment, with their families, in the church, every aspect of their life. Help them to be the men and women that you have called them to be. Touch them this day. Let them know that they are a part of your kingdom, a part of your church, that they are ordained into service. We thank you, Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your willingness to serve. May God bless you. May God bless you. Our closing hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, refrain only 43. Thank you. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary this day, may you go in faith. May you go knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has a covenant with you, that God loves you, that God cares about you. And that when you are in trouble and having sorrows, look to God. Look to God's people. Believe that God cares about you and will be there for you and will help you through the tough times. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.